AJ, let's talk a little bit about the UFOs over the Amazon, what you call Operation Saucer, if you could fill us in on that case now.
Yep, talking about hostility from the aliens. That's the very thing that happened in the Amazon. Now, we don't have a clue of why these aliens have done that for quite some time. They are still doing this, but in a much, fortunately, in a much slower and a much low level. The number of attacks have decreased immensely.
They were pretty aggressive years ago, weren't they?
Oh, yes. Yes, this is what triggered the Operation Saucer. During the 70s, for some reason that we don't know yet, some small community by the Bank Rivers of the Amazon, especially the ones that live close to the Belém area, which is a very huge metropolitan area, where the Amazon River comes all the way from the forest and it reaches Atlantic and forms a lot of islands over there. In most of those islands and bays and keys, and there are some very humble, small community of people who live up on fishing and live up on small agriculture, things like that. And for some reason in the 70s, these people started getting attacked by strange balls of light. Now, the behavior of this ball of light was always the same. Either they would come from the air or from the brush, from the woods, or sometimes from the water, from inside the water, and they would run after people. At the first moments, they would only get close to people, and they thought they were harmless. But eventually, they started attacking people, so people started running from them. Month after month after month, what people was suffering was attacks of this balls of light who had the same behavior. They could come close to them and direct a beam of light, like a laser beam or something, towards their bodies. And they would felt unconscious for some minutes, hours, and sometimes even days. And when they got their consciousness back, when they recover, they all seem like anemic, like missing blood. And because of that, and this has been actually proven that they have been missing blood by some exams conducted in the victims. And because of that particular thing, that the balls kind of sucked blood from people, the balls were called by the people by the name of suck phenomena, or just suck phenomena. And it became a fever in the 70s. By June or July 1977, the situation was so intense. Panic was all over. People couldn't sleep. People couldn't do anything. People couldn't go fishing or couldn't go planting or nothing because they were afraid of being attacked. So they got together during the long days and nights. No sleep whatsoever. They would make these big fires by the bank rivers and try to repel the objects, but they would come anyway. They would attack anyway. So next step, George, was that the situation was so unbearable, so terrible, that the communities went to the state government, who asked the Brazilian Air Force to do something. And because there was a great headquarters of the Brazilian Air Force in Belém, in a range of 100 kilometers or so from those areas, the Brazilian Air Force at that headquarters was called to do something about it, because it was an airborne something that people didn't know what the hell was that. So by that time, the commander of this headquarters, which is called the 1st Brazilian Airspace Command in Belém, called a man between its rank, its personnel, which was a captain William G. Holanda, a descendant of the Indians in the Amazon.
All right.
Considered a very brave man, a very, very educated person, who has a long list of services conducted through the Brazilian Air Force. And he was asked to be the head of a particular commission dedicated to investigate those cases, an operation which was intended to be both official and secret.
Did anybody ever die or disappear because of this, AJ?
We had many disappearances, people who have never been found again. We have a few deaths, and we have dozens of people burned, broken legs running from the balls, broken arms, with all sorts of diseases. And these people, some of them are still living with their traumas. They are still dead in that area.
How many of these people, AJ, believe that these balls of light came from UFOs?
Well, they were very humble people. At that time, they have the thing that to believe that the balls of light come from the hell or something like that. But eventually, as time went by and they had access to TV or things like that, I believe now that most of them know that they faced a threat or some sort of activity that is not from this planet. But, of course, they don't have the capability to understand what kind of threat was that, because for some reason, after a few years after that, the phenomena, the Suk-Suk phenomena, just decreased immensely its activity. And now we only have a few cases every once in a while.
Now, did they have the files of this case for you available?
Yes. Part of them.
Okay.
Part of them. Now, the Operation Saucer, it started like this, George. When the situation went mad by July and August 1977, the commander of that Air Force installation asked this man with Angel Landa, which was a captain, and he was in the head of the search and rescue service. He would jump with parachutes in the woods, in the forest, if necessary, to try to retrieve people from accidents or something like that. And this gentleman was asked to conduct the operation, and he was asked to give it a name. And he, as he believed in UFOs and alien life and extraterrestrial life, he said, I'm going to call it Operation Saucer. But he said to us, when we interviewed him, that he didn't believe that what was going on in that area had anything to do with UFOs. He thought that those things were related to mysticism, were related to people's superstition or something like that. And he was intended, and he was convinced of that, and he decided to go there as the head of Operation Saucer to explain the situation.
And did he always stay? He always believed that? Did he ever change his mind?
Immediately. As he started the Operation Saucer by September 1977, after the few initial weeks when nothing happened, basically nothing happened, then eventually they started happening cases in which balls of light would appear close to them, to the military. This was a group of 12 to 15 people commanded by this man with Angel Landa. And during the other weeks, as the time went by, the balls of light and also very big objects like motherships, structured objects, would get closer and closer. He told me, and to my co-editor, Marco Antonio Petit, when we visited him in 1997, it was the first and only interview that this man ever gave. It was to the Brazilian UFO magazine.
Right.
And he said very clearly that he had the feeling, along with his military people, his military men, that the objects knew what they were doing. The intelligences behind the objects, inside the objects, knew what they were doing in the woods, and they would come closer and closer and closer.